Blog Talk Radio.
Across the world, because of the passing of one of the world's icon and a great singer, Whitney Houston. We here at the A New Day Show, we send our condolences to her family and for all her fans across the world. Let's hold her up, hold up the family in prayers, and her daughter. Her mom was an amazing woman with a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous voice, and she has really left her mark on her legacy on the world. So we do send our condolences out to the family. And I think it is just fitting because today we have an amazing woman who is also a singer, and I'm going to bring her on momentarily. She's hanging out in the virtual green room, and I think it's just fitting, you know, in tribute to Whitney, that we have this amazing woman. And she's not Whitney, she will not be Whitney or looking to replace her in any way. However, God has been using her in a mighty way, and we are going to get to hear one of her songs later on. And we're going to have her share her story, because talk about whether somebody have a reason to quit. This lady who is Princess Angie or Angela Collins has a lot of reasons why she should do that. So listen, grab your tea, grab your blanket, throw it over your feet, and just get cozy for this conversation. We're actually going to be having two guests on. You know, for approximately 2 months, we have been intertwining what's possible from the book 50 Stories of People Who Dare to Dream by Darian Kagan. And today we are having two guests because I think their real life story, it can also be part of the theme of what's possible. So the phone lines are open. 646-915-8166. The chat room is also up. Let me hear from you. And before I bring my guests on, I want to just remind you that on the 23rd of March, there will be the Vision Weekend Conference, taking place at the prestigious Broadway Millennium Hotel. slap bam in Times Square. And if you have not yet registered, listen, you need to register as soon as you can. Because if you are looking to utilize the discounted hotel rooms, they are quick approaching when they are going to take off the rooms off the block that are not registered for and put them back into the general inventory. Bottom line, what that means, instead of you paying the $178 or the $199, you will be paying their regular rates, which is a hefty amount. Well, the Vision Weekend Conference is designed to educate, inspire, and empower entrepreneurs and small business people. The attendees to the Vision Weekend Conference will gain insight in growing your business and making more money, attract and retain new customers, learn and understand creative marketing and branding techniques to build your businesses and your brand. Understand how social media can help you to leverage the global marketplace. It gives you the opportunity to network with your entrepreneurial peers and other business owners. Who should attend the Vision Weekend Conference? Small business owners and entrepreneurs, anyone thinking of starting their own business, marketers, sales professionals, those who are currently serving or the desire to serve in leadership role in their organization. Again, you can visit visionweekendconference.com. And also, please join us on Facebook at Vision Weekend Conference. And on Twitter, we are Vision Conference 1. So remember, the lines are open 646-915-8166. And without any further delay, I want to bring on live to the airways, I want to introduce to you, my listeners, Princess Angie. Hello, Princess Angie. How are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I am wonderful. I am so wonderful. Thank you so much for accepting our invitation to be on the show today, because I think, you know, with the passing of Whitney and everything like that, it is only fitting that people learn about all the other great talents that we are blessed to have. So I'm honored that you have accepted the invitation. Will you please? Okay, I'm going to, in a minute, I'm going to have you introduce yourself. In 30 seconds, I'll have you do that.
Okay.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
All right, so I want to just introduce to you my New Day family, Princess Angie or Angela Collins. Would you please take some time and introduce yourself, tell people who you are and where you hail from and that all of that good thing.
Well, I just want to say thank you, first of all, Dr. Daphne, for having me. My name is Angela Marie Collins, A.K.A. Princess Angie. I'm actually born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and from a family. My family was from Tennessee. So I migrated to Alabama, and there I call Alabama my home because it is my home. But I'm a music minister, singer, songwriter, and / nurse.
All right.
Entrepreneur. I have my own business.
Blessed
me to have a record label, gospel indie label, publishing company.
Wonderful.
And I also make my own body butter.
All right. Well, Just right now, we just want to you're indeed an entrepreneur. You mentioned about being from Milwaukee and went to Alabama, but now I need to let people understand that you are now in Connecticut.
What brought
you to Connecticut?
A travel assignment, actually. I came to Connecticut to complete a project, my first project, Learning, which is available on my website on CD Baby. But I needed finances, and in Alabama, the pay rate was not enough. So I decided to take a travel assignment and come to Connecticut and work as a nurse here in Connecticut. Which did benefit. I was able to complete the project. So God is good.
Wonderful, wonderful. Mm-hmm. And here you are leaving Alabama to come here, and you came here, and doors just begin to open up for you. But before we go into all of what you are doing now, we want to go to the beginning. Because people probably look on you, and they're going to be listening to your music, and they're hearing everything that is amazing. They read your bio and all of that thing. But let's talk about the beginning and some of the struggles that you encounter that you just had to like swim through them to be here today to give your testimony. You know, let's talk about some of that.
Well, you know, it's so funny and so besetting because, you know, God, when he calls a child to, when we're born, as a matter of fact, before we're in our mother's womb, God has already called us for a special purpose. And I was adopted, actually, and my biological mother left me in the hospital at birth. Now, when she left me there, she named me Angela.
Wow.
Now, it's so ironic because, you know, back in the Bible days, when you name your child, you name that child according, and even in Africa, you name your child according to what that child's purpose is going to be.
That's right. That's right.
And my mother, my biological mother, named me Angela, which means messenger of God. And my adopted parents did not want to change that. They kept that name and just added Marie.
I thank them for honoring that.
Yeah, I do too. And I see why, because God called me to a special purpose. Because, you know, when as I was growing, you know, when you're adopted and you've already been in the system, you develop habits and you develop manipulation. You can't help it because you're a child in the system. So you develop certain characteristics and certain behaviors that can either catapult you to a place of progress or put you in a place of rebellion. And as I was growing older, I began to rebel against my parents. Now, my mother was a Christian woman, and she believed in the Word of God. She wasn't an avid churchgoer, but she was. She read a Bible every single day, and she prayed every single day. And as I began to get older, I began to rebel. So needless to say, I ran away from home at a young age. About 14, 15 years old, I was in the world. And because of that and because of the talent, because I sang ever since I was a child. I was maybe about 3-4 years old, and I was holding a mic. But because of the desire to be a Whitney Houston, and to be honest, because I loved Whitney, I loved it very much.
And that is okay. It's not a problem. Everybody needs everybody needs mentors and role models in the world. So it's okay to have somebody that you want to emulate. You know,
that's okay. Well, we know all the icons: Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson. You know, I wanted to be a superstar, so I ran away.
Yes.
And when I ran away, I ran myself into a world of trouble. So
there came promiscuity.
There came alcoholism. There came drug addiction. There came a lot of different things. And I ran into my first husband, who was an abuser. And he was like 10 years older than I was. And he, needless to say, he was, our walks of life were so different. You know,
yes.
He was kind of like in and out of the penitentiary all his life, and I was a little girl going to private school that ran away from home that knew I knew everything.
Uh-huh.
So needless to say, I ended up marrying this man, and when I married him, I cried the whole time because he beat me severely all the time before I married him. On a daily basis. So then after I married him, the Lord opened the door where he was arrested and he went back to prison, and I went to nursing school, and from there went back to church.
Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that God faithful?
Yeah, he is something else. God is awesome. And when I think about how he orchestrates everything.
Yeah,
because he knows the calling that he has for you.
That's right.
He knows the calling that he has, and he also knows that we can be stiff-necked.
Mm-hmm.
But he loves us so much that he begins to love us back into obedience. I just give him praise right now for all of the direction and the guidance that he's had for my life.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
At what age did you get married?
I was in my 20s, actually.
Okay, so
my early 20s.
You were still young.
I was still very young, yes.
Did your parents come to your wedding? Did you let them know that you were getting married?
Oh no, my God. I married him because he threatened to kill me, and he threatened to kill my parents. He was very abusive.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, he was a pimp.
Wow.
So he had a lot of issues and a lot of things going on, but no way. My mother couldn't stand him. My mother
Hold on. We have a call. I'm gonna take this call and see whether or not they want to say something or they just listening. So give me a minute, please.
Okay.
Caller, good evening. Your first three digits are 312. Would you like to say where you're calling from? Your name, please. All right, I guess they are just listening. Well, enjoy the show. Okay, so you were married to this gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And he was beating you, and then Daddy rescued you. He sent him back to jail. So how long was he in jail for?
He was actually in jail for 3 years.
And during that time, were you able to divorce him or what?
No, actually, I didn't divorce him. I stood right by his side.
Wow.
I went to the prison to see him every weekend.
Wow.
And I just took him what I learned. I met Marvella Allen and Mother Allen and all of these wonderful mothers in the church and Sister Stewart, I mean, all of these missionaries that just brought me the word of God. And everything that they brought me, I tried to take back to James.
Mm.
I tried my best. You know, I wanted him to find the God that I found.
Wow.
And he told me all the while he was in prison that, okay, I'm going to serve the Lord when I get out. The very night he got out, he jumped me again.
Yeah, what happened now? Why don't you start serving now? So when you get out, you continue manifesting it. You know,
amen.
If you are just joining us, I am in conversation with Princess Angie, who is an amazing woman of God. She's talking about all the different sides to her. She's talking about the husband that used to abuse her and everything like that. But you know what I want to do? I want to go ahead and play your song, and then we are going to go back into conversation. Is that okay with you?
That's fine.
So now you're going to be listening to Princess Angie with the Prayer of Jabez.
Born in sin, saved in iniquity.
All right. Well, you were just listening to Princess Angie with the Prayer of Jabez. That is indeed such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. Why the Prayer of Jabez?
Well, you know, the Prayer of Jabez I wrote at a place in my life where I was really, really going through, because, you know, I've been through, like I said earlier, a lot of abuse in my life. I've also been violated, raped, and kicked over a cliff to die. And with that comes a lot of emotional distress and trauma. And if you don't get the proper healing for instances of tragedies that happen in your life, you wind up repeating the cycle. Whether it be emotional, whether it be physical, it happens.
That's right.
And so I found myself at a really low place in my life, and just coming out of a bad relationship. And the Lord just gave me that song. And when I read about the scripture, and everybody knows about the story about Jabez, the Bible, he's mentioned one time in the Bible. But his mother actually named him because he was born in sorrow. That's what the word says.
Yes.
And she named him after pain. And he lived in a time in his life where there was nothing. People were just doing all manner of evil. There was so much wickedness in the land. And he decided that he was going to change his circumstances because he was not going to become what his mother named him.
That's right. He's going to make a difference.
That's right. And the Lord blessed him. And he said the Lord honored his request.
Because it comes a time when each and every one of us need to look in the mirror, and we got to say, it's transformation time.
Amen.
Regardless of what's going around in my environment and my circumstances, for me, oh my God, now it's transformation time. And I know what the system says and all of that, but I know to whom I belong. And so long as I reach out and say, I need to be delivered, I need to be transformed, I'm going to get what I ask for. It is indeed an amazing song. And, you know, I was sitting here and I just enjoy every word of it. I played it in its entirety because I wanted people to hear the entire song. So I want to congratulate you on that and for your willingness to share your experience, not only in song, but to be bold on global airwaves to say, I'm going to tell, because as I tell, it's going to help some man or some woman to heal.
Amen. Amen.
Now you say you make your body products, you sing. You have your magazine. You are a nurse. What else?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Just singer-songwriter, and I'm a child of God. I really believe that God wants his children to stand independent of this world. And I really honestly believe that he wants us not to have to be dependent on jobs.
That's right, because there's enough. He wants us to step up and to claim ours.
That's
and
right.
Stop and whining and complaining. So kind of body products do you make? Let's talk about, because you know something? There are a lot of people sitting home blaming the government for this, and they have skills and talents and they don't want to tap into what they have. But let's just talk a little bit about your body product and how did that came about.
Well, I was going to be honest with you. You know, when I moved to Connecticut, the water in Connecticut is very harsh.
Oh, really?
And it is. In Alabama, it is so soft. I never had any difficulty with dry skin or nothing. But when I got here, it just seemed to be difficult. And I would buy lotions and stuff and spend money, nice money, on really good products and stuff. And it would look like I hadn't put anything on. So I said, Lord, no, this is ridiculous. I need to figure out what I can use, and I couldn't find anything. So the Holy Spirit, I'm very creative, so he just kept talking to me about what to mix. So I started mixing oils. So So my body butter is actually soybean oil, olive oil, sweet olive. It's actually from the Mediterranean. It's sweet olive and natural fragrance.
You go, girl.
And emulsified wax. So it's a nice blend. It's very soft. And everybody that tries it, the first thing they say is, ooh, it's nice. It's got, I tried to name it, ooh, it's nice. But it's my body butter is angelic. It's angelic body butter.
So you're telling me that you are obedient enough because you are going through struggles with your own skin. And you went to your father and you said that I'm sick and tired of that. I'm not in Alabama where I have my nice soft skin. I need something.
That's
and
right.
He told you and you were obedient enough to start mixing and dibbling and dabbling until you create a product out of it.
That's right.
My God.
That's right. That's where angelic body butter came from.
And you didn't have to go get a scientist to do the research to create the product for you.
No.
My God. I hope
just
there's
mixing
something.
It like, you know, because God said that he made every heal, every herb is for the healing of the nations. Every
he
single
sure
one.
Does. He sure
and
does.
All of our medicine, everything that we need is already, we're looking at it.
That's right. And we just
we're looking
need
at
to be
it.
Obedient and to follow through. But you know what I've noticed? With a lot of people, instead of going to the source that has all the answers, they keep going around to their neighbors and their cousins and their great aunt and all those people who don't know anything. And because they have never done anything for themselves, they knock down the idea that you go to them. So again, I applaud you for your obedience in stepping out and following through.
Well, amen. I just give God the glory. I give God the glory.
I want to remind people, if you are just joining, the phone lines are open. I'm in conversation with singer, entrepreneur, body butter, manufacturer, everything. Angela Collins, a.k.a. Princess Angie. 646-915-8166. Why don't you go ahead and tell people how they can find your music and everything, how they can keep up with you out there?
Well, you can reach me on my website. I'm also on Manta, listed on Manta. But you can reach me at Malachi, M-A-L-A-C-H-I, Publishing, P-U-B-L-I-S-H-I-N-G. LLC.org, or you can give me a call at 860-834-0374.
And your music, is your music only on your website, or are there other places that your music can be had?
It can be had on iTunes, on CD Baby, on Rhapsody, Amazon. Yeah.
That's right. All right, mm-hmm. So you all see the sister has spread her wings, and she's an extremely talented and creative lady. Now, when you just came to Connecticut, because Connecticut and Alabama is like day and night, what was it like for you when you arrived, other than the hard water?
It was different. It was a culture shock. I remember driving in New York when I first got here. I went to go sing at a church in New York. And, oh, my God, when I got off the Merritt Parkway and I ended up down in the city, you know, where all the highways and the byways and bypasses and bridges and, oh, my God, I almost had a panic attack. I said, Lord, please drive this car for me. You know, I asked the Lord for everything.
Well, we got to.
Everything. I said, Lord, please, because I can't drive no more. I was like in culture shock when I got down there, downtown New York.
So
that
nobody,
was it for me.
Let me ask you, no one told you that you should have done a dry run before?
No.
Oh, poor baby. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. I can imagine what it was like for you. Let's, we have a few more minutes because the other guest is going to be coming on at 7:45. But let's talk about some of your vision. What can we look for in the future from you?
Well, you know, Malachi Records and Publishing is a gospel indie label, and the vision for this label is to, one, definitely uplift the name of Jesus in everything that we do, and nationwide exposure. That is what I see. I see the ministry going abroad everywhere, ministering the word of God through song. Not half-stepping the word of God, but actually delivering his word through music.
Mm-hmm.
And I also see, too, the rape crisis intervention. I see the foundation. I see the opportunity to be able to go to the hospitals and the wherever women or men have been affected by rape,
mm-hmm.
and giving them something new.
Mm-hmm.
And if they need support, I see a vision to be able to give them financial support to get on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
I see that. And, of course, my business, Angelic Body Butter, all of you'll be able to go to Walmart and pick it up.
Wonderful. Let me ask you a question. For the people who are listening to the show and for those who will download it from the archive, and there is somebody that is suffering all the things that you have gone through, and they have not yet said anything to anybody. What kind of an insight or word of wisdom you have for them to encourage them to stand up and take a stand to get healing?
Number one, Dr. Gaffney. You and I both know that no one on the face of this planet is created to be abused in any form or fashion.
None.
We are wonderfully and fearfully made, and God loves us so much.
That's right.
And he already suffered the abuse that we're going through.
That's right.
So the thing is that people need to understand that if you come forth and it be a family member, that you need to tell it. You have to tell it. One, so it can stop, and two, so you can be healed, and you need to be in a safe place. You have to be healed, because even if you were violated, I did a program a while ago about rape, and a young lady was violated by a friend of a friend, and for years she held this. She didn't say a word, not one word. But it nearly destroyed her life.
My God.
The point is that if you don't get help and you don't seek God's throne, because that's the only way you're going to get the true healing.
Healing, that's right.
If you don't, it will cycle in your life in other areas.
Right.
So you need to get healing. You need to get to a safe place. You need to vocalize it. Don't hold it.
And
don't keep it in. Don't feel ashamed. Just come forth.
Because it's nothing that you did. It's not your fault. And, you know, oh, my God. Yes, continue. Anything else you want to tell them about that?
Oh, no, just that God loves you so much. The Lord loves you so much.
Well, we're going to continue in conversation, because the other guest has not called in yet. And as a matter of fact, if your time allow for you to stay on, you can stay on in case anybody have any question for you and want to call in. A lot of times the people like to just listen, and then all of a sudden a question come and they call in. So if your time allow for you to be on, you can remain even after the other guest comes on. So,
okay.
For those of you who are listening, if you're on the switchboard and you want to speak, I think you just touch the number sign and one. Know that you are looking to talk. So for those of you who are on the switchboard that have called in, If you want to say something, please raise your hand. I am in conversation with the amazing and Princess Angie. And if you look on her picture, she is indeed a princess. So how many songs have you, before you tell me how many, do you write all your own songs?
I do, actually. There's only a couple of songs that I haven't written.
Wow.
Most of my songs I have.
And how many CDs do you have at the moment?
I have two.
Okay, what's the other one?
The other one is Learning. That was the first. That's my first baby. That's the first one. And that's just praise and worship. And Learning is the title track of that song. And it's just about learning. It's about learning that we can lean on Jesus no matter what we're going through. And that he's going to direct us through it all, through everything, everything. How to lean on the Lord.
He's the only one that has not shrugged his shoulder and us and say, I told you so. Because it's a good thing he's not looking at us and say, payback time. Because if that were the case, you and I would not be in this conversation right now. Because he would have said you were in a comfortable home, decent family. You run away and married this man. So good for you. It's payback time. But he didn't do that. He took you and he cleaned you up. And started manifesting through you.
Amen. And I thank him for it. And every day is a learning process.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a learning process. It's to get you from as my clip says, from tragedy to triumph. As it gets you from that place, there's a growing process in between.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes God has to pull you by yourself, by alone, because
mm-hmm.
the devil will always try to pull you back out there.
That's right, and to tell you, and tell you, oh, what you did before. Well, too bad, because I'm now covered by the blood. So
that's it. I'm covered by the blood.
Yeah,
the blood.
That's right.
Sometimes God had to pull you aside and make you stand up and look at yourself. Look, I gave you everything you need.
That's right.
I have given you every talent you need to do whatever you want to do in this life.
Let me ask you a question. How did the name Princess Angie come about?
Well, it's so funny because Doc Howard, a friend of mine here in Connecticut, you know, he's a friend of Dennis who actually did the music to Prayer of Jabez and the second CD, Simple Praise. And Doc was doing some promotional things for me, and he told me, he said, Angie, he said, you know something? I went online and I found 1,000,001 Angie Collins. He said, I'm going to start calling you Princess.
Look at that. Isn't that amazing?
I said, well, okay, you can call me Princess. And then I thought about it. I said, you know, God does give you a new name.
That's right. You are a princess. We are all princesses.
God gives you a name. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
God is so good. And
okay,
ever since I've been Princess.
I want to give you a few minutes to give us your closing thoughts because my other guest is in the green room. And as I have suggested, I welcome you to remain on the line in case there are some calls for you. But why don't we take a few minutes and just give us your closing, summarizing thoughts. If the people who are listening don't remember anything else out of this conversation, what would you like them to hold on to?
I would like them to hold on to the fact that the Lord loves them so much. And even in this time when everything is so uncertain, when bills don't seem like they're getting met, when children seem to be so rebellious, when things aren't going right, mothers and fathers continue to pray for your children because God does answer prayer.
Yes, he does.
I'm a living witness.
Yes, he does.
That God will turn that child around.
Wow. Wow.
And also, too, if you have a talent, which you do, use it.
Mm-hmm.
Use it.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't give it to you to sit. It can't bless not one person sitting.
That's right. Why, thank you so much for honoring us with your beautiful talent and for being bold and courageous to share your story. Why don't you give out your contact information again, please?
Okay, that's Malachi Publishing LLC.org. And you can reach me by phone as well at 860-834-0374.
All right. Well, Princess Angie, I look forward to have you back here with us. And we just pray for your continued success and for the expansion of your ministry, that it will indeed be touching lives. More lives, because we know it is already touching lives. But we just continue praying for your success.
Amen.
All right. So thank you. All right. You're very welcome. I want to say hello to Mr. Young. Mr. Calvin Young is our next guest. Mr. Young, how are you?
Hello. How are you doing, Daphne?
I am wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Would you please take a few minutes and just introduce yourself to the listeners?
Sure. My name is Calvin Young. I'm from Middletown, Connecticut. And I'm a recovery specialist for Community Health Resources. Mm-hmm. And I also have my own services as well with Connecticut Recovery Coach. You can reach me at www.ct.
Hold on, Calvin.
Okay.
Don't give out any contact information until I tell you to do so.
Okay.
All right. This is an empowerment show. It's not a marketing venue, so I'll tell you when to do that.
Okay.
For those who are listening, as you know that on Sundays, our focus is on life issues. So where on Wednesdays we deal with the education, empowerment, and inspiration of entrepreneurs, on Sundays we kind of turn it around, where we get guests that have powerful experiences in their lives that they have used to embrace to help to change somebody's life. And you heard Princess Angie's story, and now we have Mr. Calvin Young, who has a unique experience. What experiences have you had in the past, Mr. Young, that you could have if you had followed what society would say about who you are? You would not be on this radio show today. What are those experiences?
Well, I had experience with alcohol and other drugs. You know, many people deal with the problem of addiction every single day. And growing up where I grew up at, it was a normal thing, you know, for as a young man to get mixed up in alcohol and drugs because it was fun. It was appealing. Everybody was doing it. It was socially acceptable. Alcohol is socially acceptable. So, you know, everyone was doing it around me. So naturally, I picked up the habit myself, and it didn't become a habit, but alcohol and addiction is very progressive. So during my years of partying and drinking and having fun, so-called fun, during my high school and college years, this addiction progressed for me, and it became a problem in my life. And many people deal with the situation every single day, but my situation growing up, and becoming dependent on alcohol, marijuana, cocaine, and heroin, it didn't start off like that. You know, growing up in high school, you know, I used to cut class, you know, not even go to class, skip school, to go out to drink, smoke a little marijuana, and have some fun. And as, you know, the time progressed, my only interest was to drink and was to smoke and get high. So eventually, I ended up quitting school. And I quit school. Find a part-time job here and there. Not really happy with myself, where my life was direction was going, because I had no idea where I want to go. I didn't have no idea who I was. So therefore, how can I go have any direction where I want to go if I don't know what I want to do with my life, who I was? So
How old were you then at that age when you quit high school?
I was like around 17, 18 years old, actually, mm-hmm. when I quit high school and mm-hmm. found a job and mm-hmm. started working to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. But my main job was getting high, was getting drunk, was partying.
What were you? Were you still living at home with your parents then?
At the time, yes, I was. Mm-hmm. I was still living at home, still, going out and like wherever, my head may lay at the mm-hmm. end of the night, I'll mm-hmm. be there. But my current residence was home, mm-hmm. with my family. Mm-hmm. And, growing up, go ahead.
And that happened to you. You started those habits in school, but something else happened in your life. Do you want to talk about that?
Absolutely. The situation progressed, throughout my years. And, the drinking turned into smoking marijuana. Then I graduated, to actually sniffing powder cocaine and doing heroin. And once I got to that point in my life, how I felt about myself, I had a disconnection with my higher power. I had a feeling of inferior feeling, or worthlessness, insecurity, jealous, anger, all those emotional feelings inside of me trapped. So therefore, I needed to escape from these emotional feelings. So I escaped with alcohol, with marijuana, with cocaine, with heroin, even though it was only a temporary fix solution.
But let me ask you, because what you just mentioned, you have mentioned that before in the earlier conversation. What happened that led into your incarceration?
Well, actually, just my behavior, my attitude, being under the influence of alcohol, I made some poor choices in my life, and they came out to have negative consequences, from mm-hmm. from domestic violence situations, mm-hmm. for being in very high risk situations, mm-hmm. Getting shot at, getting jumped by a gang of people. They put myself in a very high risk situations, making poor choices and landing myself in prison.
How old were you when you got incarcerated?
Well, I've been in jail a few times, and the first time I was incarcerated, I would say maybe 27, 28, but my last incarceration was only a few years ago, and that's when I actually really utilized my time wisely and took advantage of all the program that was available to better myself, to get to the bottom line.
How long were you incarcerated for?
My last incarceration was 2 years. Years incarceration, and that was ample time for me to get my life in order.
During that time, you woke up, because you were sleeping all along, and you woke up, and then God bless you, and you came out, and you said, "Enough is enough. I'm going to start doing something different." What gave you that aha moment that you said, "Amen, I got to wake up"? What happened?
It was a divine intervention for me. The whole aspect of me going to jail, divine intervention, prison for me was God's time out. God mm-hmm. had a bigger and better plan for me to do. So therefore, mm-hmm. naturally, He didn't send me back to the Creator. He actually put me in prison, where I had an mm-hmm. opportunity to work on myself, to work on some issues, work on my emotional issues that got me so dependent on alcohol and other drugs mm-hmm. in the first place. Mm-hmm. My acting out, my using, my drinking, that was only a symptom of the underlying problem that I wasn't dealing with, and that was
right.
emotional feelings that I felt towards mm-hmm. myself and how I seen the world, my different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Once I developed a personal relationship with God, I grew up in the church. I grew up in Christianity all my life. My father's a pastor. My brother's a pastor. I come from a very spiritual, religious family. But once it was in prison where I actually developed a personal relationship with God for myself, not
That's
going to
right.
prison because my mother told me to go, my father told me to go, or being forced to go. But naturally, when you're forced to do something, you're going to rebel.
Mm.
But when you go and learn and have a desire to learn on your own and not just accept something what everybody tell you, but to investigate it and find out for yourself and find out your own truth in your own heart. And once I developed that personal relationship, I did my study and I did my my me time and developed an intimate relationship with God, things for me started to change. My whole perspective and life started to change. And
when you came out of incarceration and you decide this is a new Calvin and this is what I'm going to do to make a difference and give back to my community and all of that, what were some of the resistance that you encountered?
Resistance, mainly from people, my old people I used to hang with. You know, a lot of people, they know me. Like I said before, it wasn't my first time going to jail. So naturally, the other times coming home from jail, I have friends waiting for me with drugs, with alcohol, ready to party, ready to do the same old thing.
My God.
This time was a little different, you know, because I had a different perspective, a different relationship with God, and I have a different vision of what I want to do for myself and my life. I had a direction. I had a purpose. I had a meaning. Mm-hmm. And that gave me the motivation and drive to do what I wanted to do besides the same old thing that I used to do. Mm-hmm. And like come home, you know, people, you know, sometimes doubt your direction you want to go. People watching you see for you to slip up or mess up, so they can say, "I told you so." I knew he was, you know, he was playing all along. Mm-hmm. You know, and I knew he'll be back doing the same old thing.
You knew that you had to have a 3,000 paradigm shift in what you were doing, and you know that once you got linked up with the true and only one who sees you, that you have changed and love you unconditionally. You know that with him, so long as you keep your hands inside of God's hand, it's not now your mama, your brother, your papa saying, you know that, hey, I'm not going down that road regardless of what you all say. I'm just not going back. And you decide you're going to make a difference. And what are some of the things that you have done since that decision was made?
Actually, I came up, one of the main things I did when I first got out and I had an opportunity to work on while I was in prison is I wrote a book called The Demon in the Bottle.
Did you write the book in prison?
Well, I wrote the poem in prison. I started with the poem in prison, and once I got home, I was able to do more research and on the more of the spiritual aspects of alcohol, you know, ethanol, you know, the ingredient that makes up in alcohol, and why, you know, the package stores is called Spirit Shop. You know,
Let me ask you, do you have the poem with you now?
Yes, I do.
Would you like to read it for the listeners?
I do have another poem. The poem, The Demon in the Bottle, is very graphic, so I didn't want to read it on your particular show, but it is very graphic. It comes from the heart. It came from a point where I was at that particular time. And I don't want to disrespect you or anyone from your audience.
When you say graphic, what is it? Curse words? What's it?
Yes, I do have some curse words in it, yes.
Okay, so then we can't do that. Okay.
Right.
Thank you for respecting my listeners enough to say
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
So when you decide that, hey, I want to be an author, I want to be a counselor, and what are people saying to you? What are they saying about you? Because I know folks are saying some stuff because they don't like to see people rise out the gutter.
True. But basically, I can't focus and concentrate on that energy. I gotta focus my energy
on
the positive.
Calvin, I'm not asking you if you're focusing in on it or concentrating on it. I'm asking you, what are some of the things that's been happening? The reason I'm asking you that, remember I mentioned at the top of our conversation that this is an empowerment show?
Absolutely.
The focus of the show is for people to learn from where you have been. So if they don't hear about some of the things that you encounter, they're not going to be able to get out of their gutter. So that's why I want you to tell people what you encounter each and every day when you get up. Because I know it's not easy. It's not hunky-dory.
Right. That is true, too. But I'm so focused on my energy and where I'm at today. And when I wake up, I am an example that recovery is possible. And me, you know, keeping focus on that, keeping focus and being connected with my higher power, with to give me the energy, give me the power, to give me the light to do what I'm doing, it's a beautiful thing. People could say anything they want to say. That's none of my business. But how I feel about myself and how I feel about what I'm doing and how I feel about my relationship with my higher power, that's the key for me, to keep focused, to keep, you know, keep a smile on my face, keep joy, keep love, keep compassion, keep empathy in my heart to do what I'm doing. And
all right,
people tell
Calvin,
me,
I'm going to ask you one more time. What are some of the things that you need to keep focus on? What are some of the obstacles that if you do not tap into your spirituality, if you don't stay focused on God, what are some of the things that you are up against that can possibly pull you back in the gutter?
Okay, let me see if I can get this correct. Was you saying if I don't, if I disconnect with my higher power, what will happen? What can happen? Many things could happen if I stay disconnected.
That's not what I'm asking you, though. What I'm asking you.
Okay, can you elaborate on your question
all right.
A little bit?
I have elaborated 5 times on it, so I don't know how much more I can elaborate on.
Okay.
I am asking you, what are some of the, now you're a recovery coach or counselor, you're an author, you are walking the right path.
Absolutely.
However, you are in the same community that you grew up in, and you are in that same society. What are some of the forces that if you would let your guard down, you would be more than likely be pulled back in the gutter?
That's
I'm
not an
not
option. That's,
that
not an, that's not an option for me. I'm focused. Anything can happen naturally. You know what I mean? But it's all about choice and consequences. If I choose to make some poor choices, I have to deal with the consequences. That's just the law of the universe. But what I'm saying, I got to stay focused on what I'm doing. I can't stay focused on what could happen. You know, what I don't have the power to predict what could happen. All I got to do is live one day at a time and stay focused on what I'm doing.
Calvin, this conversation is getting very challenging. Because
hold on.
Because I think you are deliberately not answering what I ask you. Because to be honest, when guests come on this show, I need my listeners to learn from the conversation. Okay? Because every day in my career, I am focusing on what I am doing. I've not been homeless for many, many years. I've been homeless in the past. And I encounter people that still ask me things about being homeless. How did I overcome it? How do I prevent myself now from going back there? And that's what I'm asking you. And you are dancing around it, telling me about you don't want to focus on. I'm not asking you to focus, but I want people to know what are some possibilities that can just come face to face with them. And they got to be strong to say, no, I'm not going down there. And the focus of this show is to help people prepare a checklist that they can concentrate on, that they don't go back over the old road. But if they don't know, as someone who's been incarcerated or someone who used to do alcohol and all the other stuff, these are the warning signs. These are what you need to look out for. And here is what you do to prevent those things.
Okay, I can tell what I did for myself. The main thing is important to understand how you feel, your triggers. What triggered you? What could trigger a person to go back to that same route? Emotional triggers, just being around certain people, certain places, certain things. That can actually trigger a person, especially in early recovery, to want to use again. Let me see. You got to have a strong support network, support group, to really stay focused in your recovery. And for me, it's just having a strong spiritual background and a foundation to really help you to stay focused. See, for me, you know, everybody has different ways to recovery. Recovery is not like a cookie-cutter approach. What works for me might not work for somebody else, you know what I mean? But what works for me is staying grounded and staying focused on my spirituality and really understand the reason why I became so dependent on alcohol and other drugs in the first place. And, you know, for me is therapy, you know, getting down to the nitty-gritty, understanding why the emotional feelings that I had of worthlessness or inferiority or all those feelings that I had that I wanted to escape from. And once I learned...
Let me ask you something then. So because based on what I've heard you just say then, when you made the decision to do a self-inventory of the journey, the path you've been on, and all of those situations, you decide that you need a healthier spiritual connection. It's not about the religion, but because of your relationship.
Absolutely.
You decide that so long as I design what works for me, and I know not everything works for everybody, but everybody in designing their plan of action needs to have a guideline. So you need to look in the mirror and say, well, this is what is going to work for me. So you have to take personal responsibility of what you are no longer going to accept, because the drugs is going to be there, the sex is going to be there, the alcohol is going to be there.
Right? That's correct.
But you have to make a decision to say, that was the old me. So you cannot dangle it in front of me like a carrot because I'm just not reaching for it.
Right. I mean, the society we live in, you know, like I said before, this is alcohol is socially acceptable. So I'm not going to be a hermit. I'm not going to hide every time I see, walk past a package store or can't go to an event because they're drinking alcohol. But I had to go within myself to find out what the reason why I wanted to drink so much and why I wanted to use drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key for anyone that's looking for recovery or in recovery. You got to, you know, like I said, alcohol and the using, that's just a symptom of the underlying problem.
All right, just hold your break. I am in conversation with Mr. Calvin Young, who is a recovery coach, and he is also an author of The Demon in a Bottle. And Princess Angie is still on the line if you have a question for her. And I'll go back and see whether she wants to weigh in the conversation. But this last segment of our show today is brought to you by
SuperFastLinkBuilding.com. The biggest challenge for business owners and entrepreneurs like you is getting your site to show up on the first page of a Google search. It's been reported that Google often changes their search reporting methods multiple times in the same day. That's why you can't use just any search optimization company. The SEO company that you choose has to think fast and move even faster. At SuperFastLinkBuilding.com, we've designed and developed a unique system to start positioning your site closer to the top. Our complex system of websites and blogs, along with our proprietary algorithms, are pushing our clients' sites to page one every day. Your site will never rise on its own. You've got to do something about it. Subscribe today. SuperFastLinkBuilding.com.
All right, so support our sponsors, guys. check in with the people on the phone line to see if they have anything they want to add to the conversation or ask any questions. And then I will be bringing back Mr. Young on. He is on live, but I'll go back to conversation with him. The number to call, remember the phone lines are open, 646-915-8166. And I'm in conversation with Mr. Kelvin Young. And I want to go to this caller here and see whether they have anything. Caller, your last four digits are 5967. Do you have anything you want to say? If you don't want to say anything, you just don't need to answer. I guess not, so I'll put you back on mute. And Paula, your last four digits are 0374. Do you have any remarks or feedback? Would you like to weigh into the conversation? Okay, I guess not. So then I will bring you back, Mr. Young. We will continue with our conversation. Remember, guys, feel free to call in. The number is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And I am in conversation with Mr. Kelvin Young. So, okay, I want to talk about getting certified for as a recovery coach or counselor. Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
Well, actually, I took this organization in Connecticut called Connecticut Community for Addiction Recovery, better known as CCAR.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you say.
We have an organization in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Called CCAR, which stands for Connecticut Community for Addiction Recovery.
Okay.
And they sponsor, and they have a recovery coach academy where they train people that have the lived experience of being in recovery to help others, to help themselves, you know, providing that peer-to-peer support, which is very important.
How long of a certification process there is?
Well, it all depends on what training you take, but there's this particular training right here was for this certification right here was it was all day from 9 to 4 for a week, and you know, basically they go on extensive training or different you know, modules to help others that's dealing with alcohol and other drugs to use like interview.
Right.
Motivational interviewing.
Wonderful.
And different procedures to help people to come around to see what stages of change they're at and really to help
Wonderful.
Them to help themselves.
Wonderful.
And I also you know, certified recovery support specialist, what I took from DMIS, which is the Department of Mental Health Addiction Services,
which
got me certified to do the job I'm doing right now with community health resources.
You find out that your past experience has allowed you to be more sensitive to your clients?
Absolutely, yes. You know, because and the clients respect it more. You know, the clients, there's a lot of counselors that never experienced alcohol and other drugs, never don't know how it feels. They just have the textbook degrees behind the names, which is okay. But the clients I deal with, you know, people that's recovering from alcohol and other drugs, when they have somebody in front of them that's been there, done that, have that lived experience, know how they feel, not from a textbook, but from live experience, they respect that much more, because they know that I'm not just doing it for a paycheck. They know I'm not doing it, you know, or telling them how to do it, what to do, but know the feeling associated with addiction. They know that I've been there, and they know I can relate to them. And that's important to have, building that rapport, building that relationship with my clients.
And I think one of the other leeway to that is they don't take, because you have been there, done that, they don't take as long to open up to you, because
right.
as a coach and a counselor myself, you know,
right.
people have to build trust, and they have to love you first before they start tell you everything.
Right.
So, So that's good. That's good there that you have decided that you want to give back to the community. As
yes.
you look back over your life journey,
mm-hmm.
are there any things you would have done differently today as you look back?
Done differently?
Mm-hmm.
I did the best I could do at the time, you know, and I have no regrets.
Calvin?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you the question again. As you look back over your life's journey,
mm-hmm.
from where you are today,
okay.
are there any things you would have done differently? I didn't ask you about at the time when you make
okay,
the...
Okay, I got an answer for you. No, not at all.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't be the man I am today.
All right. Because we all learn from our experiences.
Absolutely.
You know? Okay, I want to allow you to tell people how they can reach you, and then I want you to give your summary thoughts. But before I do that, I just need to remind people about something. So just bear with me there. But
okay.
once I get back to you, that's what I'm going to have you do.
Okay.
Okay, I just want to remind people about the Vision Weekend Conference 2012, which will be a vision transformation revolution taking place at the prestigious Broadway Millennium Hotel. Our speakers are Mr. Simon T. Bailey, founder of the Brilliance Institute, Ms. Crystal Washington, marketing and social media strategy, Mrs. John Mullock, Master of Positive Achievement, Mr. Brian Delaney, SEO expert and social media strategy, Dr. CJ Cohn, founder of Dominate Your Destiny, Mr. William Cohn, president of Dominate Your Destiny, Mr. Brian D. Ridgway, transformational mentor, Mr. Leon Ellis, restauranteur, entrepreneur, and motivational speaker, Mr. Steven Jackson, the original geek. He's the general manager of RDGZ Media. Miss Yolanda Webb is CEO of Elan Cosmetics and editor-in-chief of Elan Magazine. Mr. Sam Orme is the CEO and founder of One Voice Worldwide. Mr. Willie Crawford is a joint venture guru and millionaire. Attorney Ariella Mitchell Durant is a copyright and patent attorney. Mr. James Nemley is an ordained minister and the founder of the Better Business Builders. Ms. Chandel Pitts is a design consultant and the owner of Black Cat Design. Miss Jennifer Sertle is an author and a thought-provoking teacher and a strategic expert and also co-author on Strategic Leadership and the Soul. And Mr. Edward Foxworth III is a personal productivity strategist. And Mr. Kobe Huberman, CEO of Strategic Landscape LTD. He is also the founder of the Peace Initiative in Israel. And without any further delay, you still have a few minutes. You can call in 646-915-8166. I'll go back to my guest, Mr. Calvin Young. Mr. Young, tell people how they can get in touch with you, please.
Sure. They can reach me at www.ptrecoverycoach.com or you can reach me at area code 203-641-1740.
Okay. Would you summarize your conversation? What are the high points you want the listeners to pull out of our conversation?
My point is if you have a desire to stop using alcohol and other drugs, recovery is possible. I am an example. There's a million people out here in the world. I live in proof that recovery is possible if you have the desire to stop using and abusing alcohol and other drugs. And that's basically having the desire and getting the help that you need. Whatever it may be, whether going to treatment, whether it's going to see a therapist, a recovery coach, recovery specialist, whatever it may be, but you must have the desire and put that desire into action to get the help that you need to live a productive and meaningful life in recovery. And it's a beautiful thing. I enjoy it. I love it.
I think people have to know to let go of shame and pride and all of that. If you want better, there is better awaiting you, and the support is there, but you got to go ask for it.
Right. There's a discrimination. There's a discrimination and stigma associated with getting help, especially if you know you have an addiction issue. You know, by going to see a therapist or a counselor or going to treatment, it's a big stigma associated with that. So we at CCAR, we're also trying to remove those barriers associated with getting help, seeking treatment, seeking a therapist, and it's just, you got to put the effort and get the help. There's nothing wrong with getting help. That shows strength when you're actually seeking out and want to get help, not weakness.
Right. So what do you have in the pipe cooking? What can we look for in the future? Are you planning anything else?
Well, right now, I just started a new position with a major agency here in Connecticut. So I'm pretty much focusing on that. But I am working on another book project, and that's in the works right now. And basically, it's called Living Sober in the Hood. You know, it's pretty much just showing how to live a productive, meaningful lifestyle as a young black man. In the black communities. And it's possible it can be done. A lot of stereotypes, a lot of stigma, a lot of discrimination associated with the lifestyle. But it's possible to live a clean and sober, healthy lifestyle in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to express that in my next book.
Have you done anything to try to help any of your old homies?
Yeah. Actually, I'm not the preaching type. I'm not the one like don't do that, don't do that. If alcohol and drugs is working for them in their life, you know, who am I to say that it's not? But if they have a desire to want to stop using drugs, they know my door is always open. And
have you extended any invitation from them for dialogue?
I talk to people on their level. You know, I mean, where they at in their life. And if the topic comes up, I do. There's many people. Listen, there's many people
I
did help.
No. You stop, Calvin. You stop. I know I have a Jamaican accent, but I'm sure I rather if I ask you a question and you don't want to answer it, I rather you tell me you don't want to answer it.
No, it's not that I want to answer, but it just seemed like you gave me a couple minutes to answer the question. I tried to answer the question, and, you know, you seem like you don't either like my question or you don't.
No, no,
I'm taking too long for you to answer them. But
you got to
understand, there's many people that I've talked to that come out of prison that I've dealt with, and I talked to them. Yes, I have. But, like, the people that I grew up with, if they're not ready to seek the help that I'm willing to offer, it's on them. It's their choice.
Calvin, I think everything I ask you, you take it beyond where I ask the question. I just simply ask whether you are doing anything for your old homies, which was really not even an open-ended question. And the second thing was that whether you extended the invitation.
Yeah.
That was two
for both questions.
Questions.
Okay. So you want yes or no questions. So the answer for both the questions is yes.
Well, thank you very much. That's all I'm asking.
Okay,
because you know something?
Mm-hmm.
You can lead the cow until you die to the water.
Mm-hmm.
And if the cow is ready to put their head in there, they're not going to do anything. So all the answers you were giving me before is not what I was asking you for, because you are not responsible for their action.
Absolutely.
Then you have to take what you're asking.
Absolutely. You got to understand, like, where I come from, and the question you're asking is, like, do I stand my hand out? Yes, I do. But I don't want you to misconstrue what I'm trying to say. When I do, I don't come out and be like, yo, you need to stop doing this, you need to stop doing that. But my hand is extended.
Why would you even think that? I didn't ask you that. So I don't know why you're thinking that. I just ask you a straightforward question. Well,
okay.
I want to thank you for coming on.
Thank you, too.
I want to commend the work that
mm-hmm.
you are doing to make our society be a safer and better place.
Absolutely.
And for young Black men to have a role model that they can look up to.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has to make a decision to take a stand to make a difference.
That is
Even
true.
When nobody else around you is doing anything, you got to decide to make a difference. So I want to thank you for coming on. Is there anything else you would like to say?
No, I'm all set. And thank you for having me up here.
Okay. And Princess Angie is still on. Let me go and see if she wants to say anything. Princess Angie, do you have anything else anything you want to say?
No, but it's very good. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
You keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, I want to thank both Princess Angie and Mr. Kelvin Young for coming on and for investing their time, experience, and knowledge to my listeners. I pray that there's something that has been said here today can help you to take an action and to take one step at a time, regardless of the length and the distance of the journey. You can only complete it by doing one step at a time. Remember, Rome was not built in a day, and whatever you are seeking to achieve does not have to happen in one day. But all I ask is that you are consistent in doing and do the best that you can each and every day. Remember that you were called for a destiny, and do not allow anything to derail you. Stay blessed.
The plan you have. your spirit and say this: thank you for showing me and directing me, hallelujah, to my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord thank you for showing me, hallelujah, and directing me. Speak to it, my destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this place. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this place. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. You feel it in your spirit? Almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. And I know what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called.